Welcome to Grails, a podcast by Alton Insights. My name is John Tunger, and on this episode, I'm talking with Anthony Zhang. He's the co-founder and CEO of Vinovest. We dive deep into what their business model looks like, investing in wine. They've also recently launched WhiskeyVest, so we talk a bit about whiskey investing. But their platform is very different than other companies that we've talked to on this podcast. They're not as much into the fractional world, but actually when you invest in Vinovest, you buy a portfolio of physical wines. And they even have a fun feature where you can get the wine sent directly to you, drink into your profits a bit. But a conversation on investing in wine with Vinovest's Anthony Zhang. Let's get started.
I think we should really start with just how we even heard about wine investing to start with, because it's kind of a thing that most people don't really know about or even know that it exists. I first found out about it after I sold my first company. I was just interested in investing my money, and I didn't want to put it all into just stocks and bonds. So I Googled, what are all the rich people investing in? And top of the list, you got like wine, whiskey, watches, cars, luxury items. And I was like, oh, wine sounds cool. I'd always loved to drink it. Didn't really know too much about it. But when I dug into the historical performance, it was really compelling. Super stable asset, strong risk-adjusted returns, and then not really correlated to the stock market. A lot of the factors that influence wine pricing is completely different than the factors that drive the S&P, for example. And I was like, all right, let's start wine investing. Turns out it's not so easy to get started with that. You need a lot of money to get set up with like your wine storage. You need a lot of connections in the wine industry to even get access to the right bottles, because it's really an insider's market. Wow. And I think thirdly, there really was just no easy platform where it could be like, hey, throw my money in and invest it and learn as I go. It seemed like you had to be at a very, very high level to even get started with wine investing. And that's what Vinovest is trying to solve. We want to democratize access to investing in wine.
So you sell your first company, you find a ton of money, or like also you come to a ton of money. Was investing something that you were doing a ton of at that point? Or was it just like your basic S&P 500 funds? You actually went and Googled, what are rich people investing in? So what was kind of your experience up to that point?
So I had invested in all the kind of, I'd say like traditional assets, right? You've got your stocks, bonds, a little bit of real estate. And then it was late 2016. So like just started to hear about crypto, not really putting any real capital behind it. But that was kind of where I was. I think solid fundamentals of investing, but I had no idea what the world of wine investing would actually entail.
Right. So then how did you go from that to, okay, let's start a company that's getting all these bottles of wine and helping other people invest in it?
Yeah, I just went down the rabbit hole. I'm the type of person where if I want to do something, I'm going to spend a lot of time kind of obsessing over it and thinking about it. And I'm like, oh, wow, like why aren't other people doing this? Looking at the other companies in the space, talking to them and being like, oh, this is not really the type of solution that I'm looking for, at least. And then, just being an entrepreneur, you're always coming up with, what you think is the next big idea. And I'd probably had maybe 30 or 40 ideas shot down by my fiance, but this one, when I brought it to her, she was actually like, oh, that's actually not too bad. I'm like, oh,
like, I like wine.
Yeah. It passed the toughest gauntlet. So I was like, all right, let's go and test it out. Let's throw up a landing page. Let's get some, let's get some proof points to see if this could actually be a viable business.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And so it's worth saying for listeners that maybe aren't too in the know on how you guys are different than other companies in the space or companies that we talk about on this podcast, talk a bit about your guys' model, right? Because it's not fractional. You're not doing Reg A. How do you guys operate compared to maybe other competitors in the fractional space?
Yeah. So to clarify, Vinovest is a robo-advisor for investing in fine wine. We'll take your capital. We'll take your investing preferences from your ideal investment timeline to your risk appetite. and be able to build out a portfolio strategy and algorithm that actually buys wines for you. So we'll go out all around the world, start searching for bottles and cases of wine to buy you. We'll secure those cases, actually store them in facilities that we've worked with all around the world, and you actually own that entire bottle and case of wine. You don't share it with anybody else. It's not pooled into a fund. It's not fractional ownership. You're just buying wine. It's very straightforward. And the reason why we did that was because we get better liquidity, right? You can sell that case of wine to a high-end restaurant, to a retailer, to another wine collector, and you don't need to deal with transferring ownership shares and creating a regulated secondary market and things like that, that, you know, could be pretty big barriers to entry or barriers to even get started when you're a young company.
Right. Well, and you guys then, like, so if I go and I invest with you, I actually own the wine, and it's not a fraction of a piece of wine. I actually own the bottle. And so you guys actually have an element where I can get that wine delivered to my house and I could just drink it if I want. Right. So, yeah, so talk about that element.
That's the cool thing too, is like, someone's going to end up drinking this wine at the end of the day. Right. Could be you. I don't recommend it because you're literally drinking all of your profits away. But I think that's a cool proof point in that because this is an asset class that does have utility, we want to be able to give all of our investors that flexibility, right? If, say, you know, you made a lot of money through Vinovest, it's an anniversary, right? You're like, hey, let's just pop open a couple of these bottles. And that's right. A cool thing that you can do if you wanted to.
How do you track the portfolio in that? Like, all of a sudden it's like it's going up, 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 and then it just falls off a cliff because it's like you went too hard one night and opened up three of those bottles. So you're kind of out of luck. Like, how does that reflect in the
your
product?
Portfolio is down because of your drinking habits. For us, we, for that particular reason, we keep the wine, you know, stored with us, right? So it's, we want to make it not so easy to liquidate your profits. So we want to make sure that, like, hey, like, literally, are you sure you want to do this? It'll, you know, it'll take a while to ship over, right? We want to make sure that it's a very calculated decision if and when they want to do that. But yeah, thankfully, we haven't seen too much of that reckless behavior on the platform.
So the business nerd in me wants to hear more about, like, so now you're your robo advisor, right? This, you have this, you can do it at scale. But at first, when you're trying to get some proof points, was that just you going and being like, okay, I got a customer, you know, they have a moderate risk tolerance. I'm going to now go and try and shop and build this kind of portfolio for this customer. How did that work in the beginning when you're doing things that, that don't scale?
Yeah. Early days, it was my co-founder and I, he has incredible design and product backgrounds. He threw up that landing page. You know, we were just running, you know, a couple hundred dollars worth of Facebook ads to get customers. And, you know, I'd be the one talking to them. I'd be like, how much do you want to invest? What's your risk tolerance? Right? We hadn't really built any of that out. And then once we kind of dialed in on the factors that I think really influence somebody's investment decision, we decided to actually make it into a strategy and make it automated. And because there's, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of different wines out there, you know, I can't be the person making those decisions. Right. We've got to be able to trust the strategy. So we developed that really from the get-go. Once we had the sort of demand, we felt confident building out the strategy, creating those back tests throughout decades worth of wine history to give us that confidence that this was something that we could confidently recommend to other people. And we put our own money in there first, was live trading with our own cash and some friends, and realized that, hey, we could either use this strategy and start like a quantitative wine hedge fund or build a platform that can give more people access. And the latter was just a much more exciting opportunity.
Right. And it really almost does feel like a hedge fund in a way, right? Like the way your guys' fee structure works and things like that. It does almost feel like you guys are opening up the general public to be able to like have, yeah, a hedge fund type market around wine. The interesting thing when I say that is that all your minimum that someone can go and invest is $1,000, which actually seems pretty cheap in terms of this market and having access. It makes it very open. Who is sort of like your ideal customer? Is it like a whole bunch of people that have $1,000 investments? Or are you looking for, you know, the use of the world that sold a company and now has more money that they can do with? And they're like, hey, how can I actually invest this into alternative assets? What kind of customers are you really targeting right now?
For us, what we're seeing is most people are starting at that $1,000 stage, right? They're unfamiliar with wine investing, unfamiliar with Vinovest, and they're really just looking to test it out. I think for our average customer, they've got their stock portfolio. They're not brand new to investing in general. And I definitely would not recommend someone to put their first like hard-earned dollars into a wine portfolio to start with. Like, at least get the fundamentals down with, you know, the traditional markets.
Yep.
But they are, they're looking to grow this for the long term. They realize that wine is something that you build upon, right? There's new releases coming out throughout each year, new vintages coming out, and it is something where you can start small and you can build up over time, and that really yields the best results to be able to dollar cost average into a market like this.
Right. And yeah, the business is so interesting because you have to have, you're almost like a marketplace where you probably have a whole lot of buyers, right? Because you're saying a big thing here is liquidation. So can I go in my portfolio and just click, you know, sell, and then basically you go and you find a seller for that? Are there people queued up ready? How does that work?
Yeah, it's really is like that. The market is a lot less liquid than the stock market. So it's not like an instant sell and click and it's done. There is going to be some sort of bidding on it. So we'll put it through to our connections, whether it be other wine exchanges, whether it be players that we work with a lot that we sell to. And we want to be able to get you the best price. So we shop it around. And then usually after a few days, you get your final price. So that's your kind of final strike price that you can exit at.
Yeah. Okay. But who do you know? How did you get to look Googling what rich people invest in to, yeah, well, now we have all these connections in the wine market, and the sellers that, or the buyers that we go back to routinely, like, did you just get some investors that were connected to people? Like, how did you build these relationships? It seems like such an awesome, a business that needs so many connections, and you guys became insiders so quickly.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I got really, really lucky. My next door neighbor, their daughter and son-in-law were master sommeliers.
What? And this is the story we want to hear. Wow.
They had us over for wine one night. I'm like, oh my God, like, these people are so nice. They have incredible wine. And the gentleman just like let it slip. He's like, yeah, that's my son-in-law's wine. He makes it. I'm like, that's super cool. Like, I'm starting this new wine company. Who is your son-in-law? He's like, oh, actually, yeah, they're both master sommeliers. I'm like, holy crap, I need to talk to them. You know, a few months later, made that connection. Having that industry support, they became one of our early advisors and really just helped to open the doors to really the wine industry. So without that, I think it would have been a much harder path to get to where we are today.
Yeah. Wow. That is awesome. Okay. So for people that, once again, newer to wine investing, let's kind of go through some maybe 101 stuff here. And I didn't prep you for this style of question, so you can pivot out of it. But if I go on your platform, I say I've got high risk and I've got, you know, $5,000 to spend. Obviously, you're not one of the robo advisors on your platform. But so I put that in there. What kind of things would it spit out back to me and say like, hey, you can own these wines. This is what we recommend, you know, yada, yada, yada. What happens if I go in there with $5,000 high risk tolerance?
Yeah. So high risk tolerance, if you make the parallel comparison to wines or to stocks, this would be like your emerging market stocks or like high growth tech stocks, right? A lot of growth potential, maybe a little bit more speculation, a little bit more volatility. And for us, these are going to be wines from high growth regions. So right now, like Italy, particularly Tuscany, is really blowing up. So is Champagne. So those would be ones that we'd probably be adding into that portfolio. And then for the backbone of the portfolio, we usually do some blue chips. So kind of like your equivalent of like your, you know, GMs or like Apple or Amazons of the world. These are producers that, you know, for decades, even centuries, have just made wine that is consistently going up in value. And that's how we really construct that portfolio for you.
Okay. And let's just say, if I just go, I've got low tolerance, then you'd say, sweet, the S&P 500 of wines, just loaded up on that.
Yeah. So those would be like more so your really blue chips. So coming from like very established regions like Bordeaux, and, you know, they have a very, very well-known classification system. So you've got your first growth all the way to fifth growths. Mm-hmm. And we'd want to get you one of those classified growths where the French government actually like maintains price floors for these. So they're very, very stable, and it's pretty hard for those bottles to go down significantly in value.
Yeah. And with the robo-advisor element, is that something where, okay, I don't really know wine, does also a notification pop up and say, hey, this is just hit a big catalyst, it's peaking, you should probably look to sell? Or is that just kind of always relying on if I go and click sell? How does that work as someone who's newer to the industry?
We'll sell it for you. Say like 5 years later, one of the wines, you know, it's really hitting a peak. We think there's better opportunities out in the market that have better long-term growth for you. We will automatically rebalance your portfolio for you.
Cool. And then all of a sudden there's like a whole bunch of new wines that show up based on.
Yeah. So you sold this, you bought this. You're like, oh, cool. Like it's an actively managed portfolio, even though it's in a very long-term asset class.
Wow. Okay. I got to know from your angle, you're someone, I've done my stalking, you love your wine. And a lot of people say they love wine, but you like really know what you're talking about from all the podcasts that I've listened to. What are you geeking out on right now when it comes to investing? Like, what's the thing around the corner that nobody sees that you're like, this is going to be big in the wine industry?
Yeah, I think what's really exciting me about the wine industry is that COVID has forced a lot of them to really open up their eyes and be like, hey, we got to change the ways that we are selling, not just to our current sources, but what's happening to the future of wine and how do they connect with the consumers in an online world. So at Vinovest, like what we're really focusing on is these relationships, right? They're the ones that are creating this wine that's going up in value, but they're not really able to connect with that end consumer, right? It's, you know, they sell to a distributor, that's their customer, right? The distributor doesn't really tell them which restaurants it's going to or which retailers it's going to, and definitely not which customers are buying from those retailers.
Right.
We want to really help to bring a lot more transparency into that whole process. And I think from an investment perspective, that encourages a lot more transparency, a lot more trust, and benefits both the end consumer or investor and the winery. So that's kind of one of the big shifts that we've started to see in this industry that I think bodes really well for the future.
And with the future, you guys seem like now, right? This isn't just, it seems like you guys are really established with wine investing and how now your model's really turning on all cylinders. What is next for you guys? Is that like, would you ever consider a Reg A fractionalizing a big bundle of wines? You know, where are you guys looking to grow as a company now that, there is this boom in alternative assets?
Yeah, I think we'd absolutely consider that. We want to be able to, as I mentioned earlier, democratize access to wine. So if it means creating that Reg A offering for even lower price points for access, we want to do that. If it means being able to expand into other asset classes. So we have a wait list launching soon for Whiskey Best. And we're using a very similar algorithmic strategy to be able to help people get into fine whiskey, which is exploding too. So we want to be able to take assets. Yeah. I mean, I love it too. I will say it's still more of a wine guy. I'm in too deep to get back out, but whiskey is something that I think is really fascinating because you can also start looking into buying casks, right? Like how baller would it be to be like, hey, I own this really expensive cask of whiskey in Scotland. It's just maturing for me. It's perfectly taken care of. And, you know, in 10 years, I'm going to bottle it and make a bunch of money doing that.
Wow. Yeah, that is awesome. I'm looking at Whiskey Vest.
Right? Like, I would love to give my future daughter or son a cask for their birth year. And like when they're 21, you know, bottle it and open it. Like that would be the coolest thing ever.
That is so baller. Yeah. So I'm looking at Whiskey Vest right now. Okay. So talk same question at $5,000 Whiskey Vest. And maybe this is new. You can't quite get into it, but I genuinely love whiskey and know a bit more about this than wine. What are some brands that you'd be investing me into? if that's what I prefer.
I think, like, you know, with whiskey, there's really only three main regions, right? You got the United States, you got Japan, and you got Scotland. So the blue chips would be your equivalent of you know, your old world Scotch. And then if you want to go a little bit riskier, I think there's a lot of high flying Japanese brands. There's a lot of, I think, kind of like, I'd say like smaller production whiskeys that are coming out of the United States that have like real cult followings.
Yeah.
And I think those are going to be the ones that are driving crazy prices at auctions. So,
okay. So not financial advice.
I would probably lean more into American.
Lean more into American. So not financial advice, just for pure tasting, let's say. What are some up and coming brands that I should take a look at? Cause I'm ready to click buy right now.
You're ready to taste. I'm a little bit more of a purist. Like, I've just been doing the blue chips, like, you know, your 20, 25 year. And for me, that's something that I'll just stick to. Like, I think that there's so many incredible distillers that are coming out of the United States that are creating some amazing products. But when you're looking at investment, especially with something that is so low volume, where it's hard to be able to get the sort of data points that you need to be able to make a quantitative decision, we want to stick with like the blue chips for investment purposes. For drinking, like I'll try anything, you know?
Right. So, what are some good, I mean, like when you say blue chips for those typical brands, is that like a, right, you're saying Angel's Envy, you're saying like, what are some kind of the brands that people can expect? Because I think people go to shelves and they're like, oh, is this blue chip? Is this riskier? I think people just don't really know.
Yeah, I think like pretty much anything that Diageo owns is going to be pretty blue chip. And obviously they got their entry level, but I think like the biggest thing to look at is like the, you know, the age of the Scotch, right? If anything over like 18 year or even 15 year, that's going to get into that blue chip territory. And just look at the quantities produced, right? And there's a lot of, I think, really exciting, even collaborations too, limited edition ones. Anything that's aged in like sherry, I think has all obviously like a huge premium on it. And sometimes, you know, there's, I saw this really cool collaboration. I forgot the name of the distiller, but they used barrels from a really famous winery in Bordeaux called Chateau Duquem. And these, they make a really sweet wine. So they used old barrels from Chateau Yquem into this special collaboration for the aging. So there's some cool stuff that's happening even at the intersection of wine and whiskey.
Wow. That is awesome. Would you guys ever consider getting into like vineyards and like those kind of things? Some people have talked about fractionalizing vineyards and making it a cash flow investment, or is that just too galaxy brain for something that would be on your radar?
I think we want to do anything that can help to create new opportunities, whether it be cash flow for the actual vineyards and winemakers or a really stable non-correlated opportunity. So vineyards are definitely on the roadmap for us. I think what we're doing right now that's a little bit similar to that is wine futures. You know, this is buying future bottles of wine that have not yet been not even harvested, or maybe they're still fermenting in the barrels at the winery, and you can be able to get, say, like an allocation of 12 bottles worth of a future vintage.
Wow.
And I think the next step from that is like, hey, like actually owning or leasing some of the grapes, right? And providing like financing to these wineries when they do need that cash flow. So that would be like the next step in sort of I would call it like a derivatives or futures market for wine.
And would that look similar to like a derivatives in stocks? Like if a stock, maybe actually the question twofold, basic, let's just say a safe average return, and this, you'd be stoked if you got this in stocks continually, but like 8%, right? Would it be the same with wine where like all of a sudden futures, you know, you could get a 30, 50% kind of crazy growth? Is it kind of one-to-one in that way?
Yeah, with futures, it's similar to buying a pre-IPO stock, right? You're getting in there, you're knowing that there's going to be a little bit more volatility when the wine actually gets released, but usually getting in there at a below release price, and it could pop off, you know, a critic score, you know, could really just help make that wine explode. And that's happened before, that we've seen like wines going up 50% on the news of like you know, being named in some big magazine or saying LeBron James is drinking it on his Instagram, like all that stuff moves the market. And that's kind of part of the fun part about wine is you can kind of get into these a little bit more speculative things if that's your kind of style.
Wow. So, I mean, this is, we're hitting time just about perfect here. Anything you want to talk about for the people, specifically that you would want to promote?
I think for us, like we want to be really accessible. If you're just curious or interested and want to give it a shot, our team is here. You know, we're happy to have a conversation, get you started. At the very least, know that wine investing exists, and it could be easier than you think to get into it.
For the lawyers in the back, a quick disclaimer. You understand that by listening to this podcast, you are not receiving financial advice. No content published here constitutes a recommendation that any particular security, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any specific person. You alone are solely responsible for determining whether an investment, security, or strategy, or any other product or service is appropriate or suitable for you based on your investment objectives and personal financial situation. Please speak with a financial advisor to understand if the risks inherent in trading are appropriate for you. Trade at your own risk. Bum, bum, bum.